4-HTP. I'm wondering if there's, since there's an Ursa Major, there must be an Ursa Minor. So maybe you actually saw two bears.
Maybe we did. Big Dipper, Little Dipper, but, and I'm not real sure that I actually saw the Big Dipper. I know it was up there, and our instructor had told us to think outside of the box. And I thought, that's about as outside of the box as you're going to get out here, because I'm not real sure. I think they do have bears on that reservation, because we went through, as adult leaders, we had to go through a class when we got out there on what they call smellables. And that's anything that has an odor that a bear might think is attractive to eat. And it's whether it's your candy bar, your toothpaste, your camera film. And, of course, we don't have to worry about camera film anymore. They even told us that we should brush our teeth immediately after eating. The cooks were supposed to put their clothes that they cooked in the bear bag. I mean, they were not taking any chances with anything. So they must have had bears out there, but fortunately, the only one we saw was the one up in the sky. KC4EZN.
KC4EZN, thanks for sharing your story. KN4RJN, do you have any more comments for us tonight?
Is KN4RJN. The star that you're looking for there, Harry, is called Sirius. It's called the dog star. That's Orion's hunting dog, which is always following him. And there is a Little Dipper. There's a Ursa Major and an Ursa Minor. And Ursa Minor is, there's also star Sirius is Canis Major. There's also a Canis Minor just above Procyon. But Ursa Minor is a little bit further east. Right now, Ursa Major is in the northeast. Ursa Minor is pretty much north. But the little bear is right behind the big bear. So the Little Dipper follows the Big Dipper. And with that, I probably have taken up way more radio time than I need to, so I will say 73s. Harry, good hearing from you. I hope you're doing well. And, yeah, twice is about twice too many for me on that particular procedure. I thought once was sufficient. So I feel for you, brother. So this is KN4RJN, and I am clear.
Thank you, Wendy. Look for the Constellation Subaru, KC4EZN.
I think my son was looking into the Subaru Constellation when he was considering buying a car. But then he decided it was too expensive. So, thanks for the rack, too. I'll tell the story. So, when you were saying, telling about the extreme, well, to me, extreme measures on that reservation to prevent anything that smelled good to a bear. I remember this one time I was out. I was camping with my son and my niece, and we were sleeping out. And there were field mice around at night, you know. Anyway, I had brought stuff to make s'mores for us, and we were out there for a few days. So I was saving that for night. We had a big campfire. And to protect the chocolate, she said, from her brothers, who were also there with us, she took the candy bars, the chocolate bars, and put them under her pillow. And so, I mean, it worked. They didn't eat them, but somebody else did, or something else did, because one morning we were, you know, I was asking about the chocolate bars because I was going to do the s'mores later that day. And she's like, oh, well, I hid them here. And she lifts up her pillow. There are these little, you know, mouth teeth marks. They one or more had been busy on the chocolate bar right under her pillow. I'll tell you, if it had been under my pillow, I would have totally freaked out because I have a a thing against mice. I mean, they can live out there, but if they come on my bed, man, they are, I'm setting the trap. That is it. So I am not sympathetic to them. They are my freak out button. I had a bad experience with a mouse as a kid. So anyway, she was like unfazed, or else she was terrified and just didn't want me to know. We've, you know, broke off the nipples parts and we had our s'mores that night, and I don't think she ever kept chocolate bars under her pillow again when we were camping.
Not a good idea. Little animals find little ways, and yeah, I'm not real fond of a mouse either. I have one that lives under my storage building, and I have problems in the fall when I get my lawnmower out to chew up the leaves and stuff. The mouse likes to build a nest up in the top of the engine where it is warm. And when I crank up the engine, it spits out bits and pieces of whatever pieces of cloth it can find inside the building. So no, they're not my number one characters either. And while you're looking at Subaru, the other name for Subaru is the Seven Sisters. I think that's Pleiades. We can normally only see, I think it's either four or five of those stars, but there are actually seven, and that is the Subaru hood emblem. I'm going to get a rise out of John when I talk about the constellation Subaru. Anyway, having too much fun, Wendy, and like I said, we're traveling tomorrow, so I need to move on from here, too, because I've been having too much fun, and like I say, I know Daniel's out there waiting. He's had time to take two naps now. Anyway, we'll turn it back to you, and I'll talk to you whenever next time comes around. KN4HTP, KC4EZM.
KN4HTP, net control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Before I begin comments from Daniel, I'm going to take a moment here to check and see if there's anyone listening in who would like to check in. Anyone listening in? We're going all the way through the alphabet, Alpha through Zulu. Please call KN4HTP or Net Control to check in.
Control, please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, APOT, X-ray Bravo, Lloyd and Sensibel. Also have a couple of comments.
KN4HTP, Net Control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. At this time, I'd like to welcome Lloyd, checking in from Simpsonville, KO4PXB. Go ahead with your comments, please.
KO4PXB. Probably about the middle of this year, I was listening to the Rock 101, and they told a funny story where South California, they had a blackout, and they had over 1,024 reports of strange lights in the sky that people called in a 911 because they had never seen stars, and it was just unbelievable that people reported that to 911.
That is amazing. I don't know. You'd think that people would know they were out there even though they couldn't see them and not think of it as an emergency, but that is really interesting.
For PXP, just my other comment. When I deployed to Iraq, when we were talking about mice, my wife sent a little wound-up mouse that I just played a joke on one of the guys. I put it at the bottom of his covers, and he put his feet in the covers, and it ran up his leg. I thought he was going to tear that bunk apart trying to get out of there.
Would totally be me. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'll bet. I hope he got even with you, though. In some harmless way, of course. Oh, that's a really good one. Yeah, that was my nightmare when I was a kid. I had a mouse in bed with me, and I think that set me off for not liking mice for the rest of my days. I had when I was a teenager on a different camping trip, there were guys and girls, and one of the guys picked up some old deer bones, and stuck them in the bottom of my sleeping bag, and I felt them down there. It was like, no big deal. Didn't bother me one bit, so he was thoroughly disappointed. And had he known all it would have taken was a mouse, I'm sure it would have been a different story. So, good for you. That's a good joke.
He got me back. He put a can of tuna on the manifold of my Humvee, and so when he heated up, it took like 2 weeks for that smell of that burnt tuna to get out of the inside of that vehicle. So I had to ride in about 140 degree temperature inside the vehicle, smelling just rotten, overheated tuna.
I think he got more than even with you on that one. Oh, 2 weeks of yucky tuna smell. Oh, but I guess it makes life bearable when you can play tricks on each other. Oh, my word. Thanks for sharing those stories, for sure.
For PXP, y'all are most welcome.
This is KF4HTP, net control with the Blue Ridge 2 meter net. This time I'm going to see if Daniel's still tuned in. KJ4WZM, are you still listening in?
Wendy, KJ4WZM. Actually, I am this time, Wendy. Normally, I would already be asleep by now, but I was talking to a buddy of mine on the phone, and that's why I guess I'm still awake, but I'm rarely ever awake at this time, so I'll be heading to bed shortly. Because of being on the phone, I did miss all of the rag chew stuff earlier. I had heard you ask a question, which kind of spurred me to stick around for comments. You had said something about temperature or something like that, and what impact it had on seeing the stars. Did you get that question answered? And I'd be more than willing to go into a lot of detail on that.
KJ4WZM, this is KN4HTP. Yeah, that one was a lot. I got that one answered right off. It wasn't a tough question for the experts out there. There's less humidity in the air when the air is cold, and therefore it is easier to see the stars in the cold temperatures. What did you learn about that?
Those lines. They probably answered it pretty well for you, but I was going to say temperature and dew point and relative humidity and stuff like that, they're all interrelated in a way. The colder the air temperature is, the less water it takes to saturate it, the less total volume of water there is up in the sky above you. So, like tonight, it is 24 degrees at my house with a dew point of 13. So there's very, very, very little water in the air between me and space. But in the summertime, when we have a dew point of 76, which is like the highest dew point I've ever seen here in my memory, when our dew point is like that, it just looks so hazy in the sky that you can barely even see a few very bright stars that barely shine through dimly. So it's a very big difference, and we don't have much light pollution where I live either, so I could walk outside right now, and without my eyes even adjusting from inside the house to going outside, I know that I'd be able to see the Milky Way immediately upon me exiting my house. It's very noticeable up here when the temperature's this low. Cool little fact about the Pleiades. When I was younger, my vision was better. I had about 20/12 vision, and now my vision's down to about 20/25. But when I had 20/12 vision, I could look up in the sky and see about 9 or 10 stars up there. It's actually a star cluster of more than 800 stars. But you have to use a high-power telescope to be able to see all of them. And I don't know if they have an actual exact count on how many stars there are in it, but it's a whole bunch of them, hundreds and hundreds of them, in a wee little tight cluster up there.
KN4HTP. Yeah, that's pretty interesting that you can see the Milky Way. I can't remember the last time I was able to see the Milky Way. Sometimes, you know, this spring I'll go visit my dad. He lives out west. I fly into Las Vegas to see him, but then drive a couple hours. So hopefully that'll get me far enough from the light, away from the light pollution, to perhaps see the Milky Way again. I know I saw it a lot when I was a kid, so it's possible, and I'm glad you're one of those who gets to see it here.
Have to go that far. If you, I'm a younger person. I know that my vision's going to go out as I get older, and I might be able to see something now that I won't be able to see when I get older. But I'm almost certain, no matter. I'm going to guess you probably see well enough to drive. If you see well enough to drive and you go to the Blue Ridge Parkway, I'm nearly completely certain that you can look up in the sky and see it very, very, very clearly there along a lot of the parkway, because it's far enough away from towns. The farther you are from light pollution, the better the stars look. I've been up in North Carolina before, and it is unbelievable what you can see up there. I can see the Milky Way from here, but I tell you what, it looks completely different once you get even further away from those lights. And sometimes it feels like the stars are so bright, but even on a new moon night where there's no moon overhead at all, you can still see to walk because the stars are so bright. It's amazing up there. I like going up there in the wintertime. The only problem is how cold it is, because when I came home from work, I pulled up the weather, and I'm about to do this again, for Mount Mitchell. And they were at 11 degrees when I got home from work. They're currently at 10 right now. Mount Mitchell is at 10 degrees right now. So the temperatures up there are absolutely miserable this time of year. But the views are amazing. Let's see, 10 degrees right now. Dew point right now is 8. So their dew point's even lower than mine.
That sounds really nice. I'm going to have to pay more attention when I'm out and about, but I lately haven't traveled much around. And, my last couple of trips have been to Charlotte, so that wouldn't help. But that's nice to hear, and I definitely will pay more attention when I'm out at night.
You get from town, the better off it'll be. You're in Simpsonville, and Simpsonville at this point has absolutely terrible light pollution. My parents live there, so when I've been there at night before and I looked up in the sky, I'm like, oh my goodness. You just can't see what you used to be able to. And I wish Simpsonville would quit growing. My memory in Simpsonville goes back to 1996. That's as far back as I can possibly remember, and I remember it was a very different place then. To my knowledge, pretty much the only one of the only public buildings in town that I remember having air conditioning was the post office. We had a department store near, I don't know if Upstate Karate is still there, but there was a department store near there. I remember it had, like, green carpet, like 1970s and 80s green carpet in there, and they cooled it in the summertime by propping the doors open and having all their fans on display turned on. We didn't have Walmart there, we didn't have Lowe's there. Clearview Road was a two-lane road with farm fields on it, and there was like a Comfort Inn there and a Waffle House, and that was about it. Then you were out in farm country. All that stuff on Fairview Road wasn't there. 385 was two lanes each way. And very, very, very different town than what it is now. You wouldn't even recognize it. No library, no Walmart, no nothing. Much different.
How things change. I've been here about 8 years, maybe 9, and when we bought this house that we're in, we were out on the edge, and the realtor said, oh, I don't know, you're getting close to where it'll be difficult to resell because you're out of town, and now we feel like we're in the middle of town because the houses have gone up all the way out to the west of us. Well, all sides, really. So we're no longer out on the edge of Simpsonville. We're right in the middle, and oh, that's fine with me. But, yeah, it's interesting how much things change. You know, it's one little thing here, one little thing there, and they add up over your lifetime or even just over 10 years.
Greenville is way bigger than what it was. And it's everything around here has changed so much. Even in Traveler's Rest now, I'm starting to see all these housing developments pop up. And I used to be a good distance outside of town here, and now it's closing in on me. They started putting in housing developments along Highway 25. I live about 5 miles past Sphinx, which is at the last traffic light in Traveler's Rest. After that, the last traffic light in the state is right by where I live at. As you head up Highway 25 north, Highway 414, I live right off of Highway 414, and the traffic light there, 25, is the last one in South Carolina before you head up the mountain into North Carolina. And the housing developments are starting to pop up between my house and Sphinx. And I'm like, oh, whoa, this isn't good, because there's a bunch of big plots of land near me, and I'm just wondering to myself how long it's going to be until they start turning this place into the same way Simpsonville went. I don't like that. I'll have to move again. This time I'm going to go somewhere way into the mountains, like the North Carolina-Tennessee line. When I move next time, I'm going to go way away from town. I want to drive like an hour to the closest town. That way it can't come knock on my back doorstep, because I'm getting tired of this. I don't like to live in town.
It's like you might be getting a few more stoplights in your area.
Highway 290's gotten quite a few new ones since I moved here, and we've got a four-way stop now where there didn't used to be one, and people are wanting to change the four-way stop over to a traffic light because supposedly the four-way stop is too dangerous and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're going to get some more traffic lights. That's definitely coming, and someday I bet we're going to get a traffic light at Mush Creek and Highway 290. Right by where 290 hits 25, that whole area there is basically what I call my neighborhood. And I just feel like we're about to get a bunch more lights because the traffic is starting to get unbelievable. 290 is a major artery for people who drive in from North Carolina and go work at BMW, and they absolutely fly up and down that road. And we've had a number of deadly accidents on that road over time. Quite a few of them, and traffic is really picking up. Certain times of day, it can be almost impossible to cross 290 on Mush Creek Road. Other times of day, you cross it and you don't even see a car coming. But during the busy times, it's really bad. And I just, like you said, I just feel like there's more traffic lights coming in before too much longer.
I think it's nice that you have the flexibility that you can move further out when you want to, and also you know what you like, and you know you don't want to feel like you're surrounded by a town, so that's pretty cool.
I set my life up in a very interesting kind of way. I got me a good background in a number of career fields, the most recent ones of which I had 3 years of welding. I now have 2 years of commercial truck driving, and I just finished maxing out the endorsements on my license as far as the truck driving stuff goes. I'm not interested in driving buses, but I got my full list of endorsements, including hazmat, put on my license, and got my TWIC card ordered and stuff like that. So that lets you in and out of ports, airports, military bases. It's a security clearance thing. So pretty much now, with the way I set my life up, I can go to any of the 48 states and show up in any town and go to work the next day because of the background that I have. And since it's a driving type job anyway, I'm not really going to notice, hour drive to work when I spend all day driving, especially if I got a over-the-road type job later on. I'm not married right now, so I don't, at this second, I don't have to worry about other individuals in my life. It's just me. So I can go live somewhere where I have an hour drive to work and be gone for 2 weeks and go have an hour drive back home and have peace and quiet when I go home instead of being in the hustle of being in town. I just like it quiet, so I can go to sleep and not have to worry about all the different noises going on outside. I like it peaceful. That's what I really like.
I like things peaceful too. It sounds like you've got a lot of versatility there, and you're setting yourself up well for the future.
The biggest reasons I did it, my age group seems to be interested in going to college and accumulating $100,000 to $200,000 of college debt and going to school for something that they're actually never going to get a job in. Now they're saddled with all kinds of college debt, and they'll get some basic factory job somewhere making $14, $15 an hour, not even have a clue how they're going to pay their own rent. So they live at their mama and daddy's house still and are struggling financially. Some of them become single parents and struggle to barely make ends meet on a very, very, very cheap income. And the rest of them just don't want to work. So I figured I'll do things a little differently from the rest of my entire generation. And I'll set myself up where I've had a steady work history and some much-needed career fields that are never, ever going to go away. That way, I can guarantee myself, even if the economy starts crumbling to pieces, I will still be able to find a job somewhere, somehow. I'll be the very last person unemployed. So when things go down, which I feel like they will someday, I still have a way to get food because of my skill set.
Fit the label of I don't know if you've heard the term the snowflakes or the cupcakes or any of those things. You don't fit that description at all, and that's really good.
Yeah, I try not to. I learned through the School of Hard Knocks pretty early on that the world doesn't owe you anything in life. If you want anything, you have to go out there and you go get it through your own blood, sweat, and tears. And that's how it works. Blood, sweat, and tears in the School of Hard Knocks. That's where I've gotten everything in life. Without that, I don't think I would have gotten much of anywhere. So, I am probably still working on my bachelor's degree at the School of Hard Knocks, but someday I'll have my PhD from it. Maybe when I get to be Harry's age, I will finally have earned my PhD from the School of Hard Knocks, but I'm definitely not finished learning there yet. As long as I'm still alive and kicking, I'll still be working on that degree. So, got a long ways to go. Haven't arrived yet. Got a lot left to learn, but I'm trying not to give up. I'm just going to keep on going forwards.
Good, and it sounds like you've got some fun things that make you happy with your hobby and other stuff, so that's pretty cool.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, I'm actually, sadly, going to have to go to bed here soon, but I hope you've had a great night tonight, and I hope you're enjoying the new year so far, and go outside someday and go to the mountains and look up at the stars and just take it all in. It's amazing. I've always been fascinated by I like to use my phone for astrophotography. I don't have a high-dollar camera. My brother does. I don't. But I like to get fascinated sometimes because I think this phone can pull out of the sky. I set it to a long exposure mode, about 15 seconds or so, and let the phone camera take it all in. It's like, wow, I can't believe it got that. But it did. So, anyways, Wendy, I'm going to get off of here for now and let you see if you got any more check-ins. But it's been good talking to you. I'll talk to you later on down the log. Tell Mark we said hello, and we'll catch you later on. KN4HTP, KJ4WZM, and I'll be clear, Wendy. You have a great night.
This is KN4HTP, Net Control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Daniel, thanks for hanging around tonight and joining me for some rag chew. At this time, as Net Control, I'd like to see if there's anyone listening in that would like to check in. It's a little late, but we're still taking check-ins. So if you'd like to check in on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KN4HTP or net control.
Kilo 4, Bravo Golf Romeo, over it, Gavin, that'll be negative and negative.
This is KN4HTP, net control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. All right, I think I got this right. KK4, Bravo Golf Romeo, Rick and Gaffney, is that correct?
I'm Britt, B-R-I-T-T.
Thank you, Britt, and thank you for checking in tonight. KK4BGR, Britt from Gaffney. I appreciate you checking in and joining us on the radio. Have I missed anyone else for comments or for check-ins all the way through the alphabet? Any station listening in all the way through the alphabet, please call KN Net Control. Our friend Walt, K4OIM, will be running the net tomorrow night starting at 9 o'clock, and I'm sure that he would appreciate you checking in with him. He has a round table that he runs right after the net where you can call in with questions and offer suggestions to those who are calling in with questions. So it's really a really helpful way to get some ideas and, you know, any information on the radio. There are a lot of people that are willing to share information in that round table. So I encourage you to tune in with Mr. Walt. All right, the net report will be submitted electronically, and I will break now for a minute for the automatic net report to transmit tonight's results. Hold on. This is KN4HTP, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s and good night, everybody.
4HXB monitoring. 4HXB monitoring. 4HXB, Cody, where you at, buddy?